Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. This is episode 249. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Not too much. Almost episode 250, though, so that's fun. One more to go. And the offseason's kind of getting underway now. So maybe by the time we record our next episode, we'll have some signings or some trades to discuss. But we're certainly getting rumors, which is fun. And soon enough, we will start having things happen. We'll have more to discuss, but there's always stuff to discuss in the dynasty world. So, you know, that's always a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's weird how much different the Major League Baseball kind of free agency is to, like, you know, NBA and NFL, where it's like, I feel like 80+% of all of that movement happens within, like, the first, you know, 48 to 72 hours after their signing period, their whatever the date is. Things open up, and then baseball, it's like, no, it's more of a slow burn. Like, the other two are more like you're searing the meat, and with baseball, you're like, you're slow cooking it over, you know, you know, 18 hours or whatever. But no, I like it. Drags it up more. I mean, yeah, I get the whole, like, excitement when it's all happening at once, but now we get the entire off season of stuff happening here. Yeah, a lot of rumors. My Sox are in some rumors. So are your Braves. So that's gonna be. You know, I heard your Braves are, obviously it's all rumors and speculation at this point, but, you know, interested in who isn't in Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
I can't wait till you guys sign him to, like, a 10-year deal with an average annual value of like $6 million a year. That's gonna be that'd be great. So you guys, yeah, oh, we're gonna add payroll. I'm like, yeah, of course you guys are.
Yeah, they're adding payroll because, like, Austin Riley's salary's going up, like some of these guys they've got long term are going up. So naturally they have to has to increase.
Can you imagine if you get,
I don't think Shohei. Yeah, I'd be shocked, but it'd be crazy.
Just imagine, like, the top of that lineup, it's like Acuna, Albies, Maddison, Shohei, who I'm not forgetting here, Riley, and who else you got in that lineup? Murphy.
Sean Murphy would be like the eighth best hitter on the team. Like, that's wild.
That is Michael Harris. You know, it's top to bottom. But yeah, we'll probably have some of those episodes eventually. But we're going to finish our kind of dynasty buy sell episodes. We did the hitter one a couple weeks ago. And obviously, we had the wrap up last week. So we'll do the dynasty pitcher buy or sell today. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show's at ToolshedPod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty Prospect and FYPD rankings, plus, you know, player write-ups and a lot more. So go check those out. Let's actually start off the episode with a giveaway here, which we forgot to do last week. If you heard the Prospect One podcast that Clegg and I recorded with Chris Welsh in the stadium, which stadium were we at, Chris? I can't remember.
Peoria.
Was it Peoria? Okay. So we went way down the left field line. There's nobody anywhere near us, for one random person. Nobody anywhere near us. So we were trying to record it. We didn't want to disturb anybody. And as we're recording it, foul ball comes, almost takes out Clegg. I run and grab it. So it's a game-used ball from the AFL that we all signed, me, Chris Clay, Chris Welsh, through 2023 AFL on it. So you want to just give it away, we'll ship it free. Obviously, nobody's going to pay for our signatures,
right.
But we figured this would just be a little fun thing. So we'll give this ball away. To win it, you have to tweet, once you listen to this episode on Tuesday, tweet at the three of us, so at EricCross04, at RotoClegg, at Is It The Welsh. And with the answer to this, I guess, trivia question, what is the one site that each of the three of us have put out written content at? There's one site that we all have written for at one point or another over the last, you know, half decade or so. Which site is that? Again, tag the three or tweet at the three of us with that answer. First one, really, first come, first serve, and we'll, you know, get in touch with you, get your address, ship it to you for free. No money on your end. You do what you want with it, give it to your dog. Don't really care. Just thought it'd be fun just to give away.
Yeah,
but
why not?
Why not? All right. Let's get into the sells first. We got four sells, then eight buys. And Chris is starting it off with the probable. Have they announced it yet, the National League Cy Young? Not yet, right?
I don't think so. It must be tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow night. Yeah.
They did Rookie of the Years tonight. So,
yes, probably. Yeah, either tomorrow or the next day. Guy that's probably going to win the National League Cy Young.
Yeah, so I think Blake Snell is probably the best sell in Dynasty right now that you can find. And that's not to say I don't like Blake Snell at all, but the list of pitchers that is able to win a Cy Young Award while walking over 13% of batters is pretty insane. Snell pitched to a 2.25 ERA this year. He had a 4.06 Sierra. Most pitchers that have a 2.25 ERA do not have a 1.19 whip. Just goes to show you how many walks he issued. And I just think it's so problematic with Snell that we've seen so many inconsistencies over the years. This was the first time he's thrown over 130 innings since 2018, and he went 180. He pitched 32 starts, pretty much every start you could possibly throw. I'm concerned about Snell repeating what he has done. And I think that it's just a great time to cash out, especially after he wins the Cy Young Award. Like, there's obviously a lot of hype there. Who knows? Like, he could go to a ballpark that, you know, it might be a bad fit. We don't know where he's going to end up signing, probably with a contender. But I'm just not confident enough in Snell to repeat what he did this year. I think there was a lot of luck factors that went his way. I don't love where he locates his four seam. Like, it's just not good location on it, but yet he got away with it a lot this year. The velo was up a bit, so maybe that's a little bit of a factor. But while the arsenal, I think, is good, like, he had, you know, 46% whiff rate on the slider, a 43% whiff rate on the curveball, I'm ultimately just cashing out on Snell if I can. And I think that you can always sucker somebody into a good deal, especially after he wins the Cy Young, which I'm, you know, I think fairly confident that's going to happen. So what would I look to get for him? I mean, anything in like the top 60 of dynasty rankings, I think you could get pretty easily. And I'd be more than happy to do that. I would take top 75 value, but I think you can get a little more. And I'd certainly take that chance that you could and see where it goes. So yeah, Blake Snell is my sell here to begin the show.
You're gonna sell Snell. Say that five times fast. Yeah, that's a definitely one I was considering as well. And you look, guys, pulled it up real quick. You mentioned how, you know, the low ERA with that higher whip and the higher walk rate. So he had the second highest strand rate. This is pitchers with at least 100 innings pitched this year, 86.7% strand rates. Number one, I thought he'd be number one, but number one, beating him by almost 3% actually, was Clayton Kershaw, who was about 89.4%. He's another one that might be, I don't know if you can sell Kershaw right now, because obviously he just had that surgery, but yeah, Kershaw might be one to sell if you still can. But yeah, Snell second on that list. And then there was a several percentage point drop down to guys like Javier Assad, Tyler Wells, McClanahan, Wade Miley, Michael King, Scherzer, etc. They're all down in like the low 80s. So yeah, definitely you look at Snell, you know, FIP 344, XFIP 362, Sierra 406. So yeah, so up and down. Obviously, when he's on, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, as we saw this year. But you know, the down usually comes, or at least the inconsistency will always come and rear its ugly head with him, unfortunately. But that's the joys of rostering Blake Snell. I'm going to go to another lefty here. And I'm actually going to Chris's Atlanta Braves with Max Fried. And this is absolutely nothing to do with skill. Like, Fried is, you know, when healthy, Fried is one of the, you know, most consistent guys out there. Guy that you can just, like, you know, plug as your SP2 and kind of forget about it. But I'm a bit worried right now about that strained forearm that cost him 3 months of the season back in, you know, I think it was like from, yeah, early May to early August. So he's limited to only 77 and two-thirds innings this year, 14 starts, after making 28 and 30 starts respectively each of the last two seasons before that. So that's kind of sticking in the back of my mind. And I think it was Jason Collette, correct? I might be wrong on that, but down at one of the live podcasts out at First Pitch Arizona, that's kind of thinking like, all right, I'm just worried that he's like coming to spring training, like throw a few bullpens or make his first start, and then something's going to happen. And I absolutely share that concern. Again, nothing to do with the player himself, the talents. Again, he's still young. He has a good track record of success over the last handful of years pitching in that Braves rotation. So if you're not worried about the elbow here or the forearm, then, you know, skip through to the next player that Clegg talks about. But usually those strained forearms usually lead to something bad more often than not. So I'm a little concerned that that's going to happen here, and he might be losing, you know, Fried for, you know, a good year here moving forward. So that's my first sell, strictly due to the injury concern there with Fried. So I will go him for my first guy. Who you got for your other guy, Chris?
I'm going with Tarik Skubal, and it's not because I don't like Skubal at all. I do like Skubal, but his value is just through the roof right now. I've seen him as high as some people's SP5, which is crazy. He's got a top 60 ADP over on the NFBC so far through 24 drafts. He's going as high as 37 in a draft, which is very, very high. I think that Skubal is a good pitcher, but we've seen Skubal also struggle to stay healthy throughout his career, and that's been a downfall. We did see the velocity tick up this year when he came back, and that's obviously worth noting that the fastball was up 2 miles an hour. And with that, I mean, you can ultimately see the reasons why that Skubal was so successful is because the velocity was there. But I'm just not confident that he returns that kind of value that he's warranting right now. It is just, I'm just baffled how high he's going in some drafts. And, you know, and I know we're talking about dynasty, but this obviously has an effect on that too. Like when people look at the ADP and they see it and they say, oh man, like, okay, he is worth this then. Like he's going as high as 37. Like let's bump Skubal way up. So that's obviously a factor. It is also worth noting that we saw the velocity trend down a little bit in September. just half a mile an hour, but that's notable. I mean, that's at least worth noticing when we're looking at a smaller sample of innings. Screwball is awesome. He did so many things well over the 80 innings that he pitched. And I think that he's going to be a really good starting pitcher, but I'm just way out at the current price point. And if you can cash out and get something, then I'm absolutely doing that because I'm all on board with selling here if you get a top 50 asset in Dynasty, because I just don't believe in that personally. And if he, so like, I guess my question is like, what's the potential profit margin here? I don't know. I just don't think there's a lot of room to profit with what you would potentially cost to acquire him and the cost to draft him right now, which means he's at peak value and I'm selling.
Yeah, I'm there with you, dude. Like, I like Screwball. I mean, I had him on a couple of teams this past year, and he was an absolute savior. Met rotations, both redraft and dynasty. But yeah, the hype on him is just absolutely insane right now. I'm trying to see where he went. I've jumped in to one DC so far. Yeah, and he went pretty high in that here. Let me pull it up here. But it's all about perceived value, and the perceived value on him is through the roof right now, way higher than I think it should be. Again, he's a very good arm, but he's going way too high in drafts. And yeah, he went in the fourth round. Let's see, he was right in the range of pitchers: Yuri Perez, Freddy Peralta, Pablo Lopez, Webb, Snell, Nola. Like, he's already up there. And yeah, could he return that value? Sure, but I think it's one of those cases where I think it's a better chance that he returns, you know, negative ROI at his value than a positive one. So I'm definitely on board with that one as well. The next one for me is Hunter Green. We keep waiting and waiting for Green to put it all together. And yeah, it's been two seasons. So I'm not like giving up on the guy by any means. Obviously, there's a lot of talent there. But at the same time, this isn't a situation where it's like Spencer Strider. Oh, he has the third pitch and it's a good one. He misses bats with it. No, like, he throws a changeup 5.3% of the time, and that was about the same thing exactly the same in 2022 as well. And it has not been a good pitch. It hasn't been like Strider's changeup, where it's been good and limited sample size. You know, 304 batting average against this year, 333 last year. You know, doesn't miss bats with it, 24.2% whiff rate. And the fastball has just been, you know, a lot of velocity has been fantastic, obviously, averaging 98.3 on it this past year, which actually was down a little over half a mile an hour from the previous year. It's been, by, you know, performance, kind of a middle of the road fastball. 265 batting average against, 518 slug. Yeah, the XBA and the XLUG are a bit better. Can't really put not a ton of stock in those. Just doesn't get enough ground balls. You know, ground ball rate only about 35.9%. Gives up too many fly balls and line drives. Gets hit too hard as well. Hard hit rate, 44.1%, and gives up 25 balls. Like I mentioned, average launch angle, 17.4 degrees. So I'm just wondering, is he always going to be like this guy? Like, guy that's, you know, at times, you know, he could go through a 3-4 start stretch where he looks like a top 10 pitcher. I mean, he's done that before, right? We've seen that. And he's still only 24. But at the same time, like, I don't like this profile, like the fly by, too many fly ball and line drives, too many hard hit balls. In Great American Ballpark, no less. He's going to be there for the next several years. I don't know when I can't remember when he's a free agent, but it's not for a few years. So I'm just wanting to see him develop that third pitch. Hasn't done it yet. Not sure he ever will. And just don't love this profile in Great American Ballpark. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Hunter Green, Chris? Like, obviously, so much talent, but I don't know. Are you still in? You think he can still become that guy that we all kind of, every one of us has thought he could probably be at one point or another?
Well, he's tough because I considered him on both the pie and the sell.
I know. He's so tough. It's weird.
He's polarizing. He has a lot to offer. I mean, we know the fastball, the velo's there, but the fastball gets hit around too. Like, there's some location. It can kind of be dead zone at times. Like, there's not a lot. The movement profile's just, it's just okay. Like, he doesn't, I don't know. I don't love the movement profile on the four seam, and it does cause it to get hit. I think the slider's pretty solid, but the four seam's going to have to take a step forward. And he's going to, the biggest issue is going to have to keep the ball down on the ground. And that's hard to do because in Great American Ballpark, like those balls just travel so easily. And when he's allowing these fly balls and these 98 mile an hour fastballs, then they're leaving the yard and it's haunting him. I mean, he allowed 12 home runs on the four seam this year, which is a bit concerning, just that one pitch, considering how many times he threw it. So I do have some concerns, but we know that the upside's there. Like, he's got the arsenal, he's got the talent, he's got the pedigree. It's just putting it all together. He's 24 years old, but yeah, ultimately he's like a tough eval for me.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He's tough. Is that you could put him as maybe a buy low. Maybe you think the value could go up, and it could absolutely, but I just have my doubts. Like I said, there's a lot of green flags here, but you know, some red flags as well. Not a great fit with the ballpark. You know, if he can establish that third pitch, but is he ever going to? Like, the changeup has not been good. Now, maybe he adds a cutter, a sink or something. I don't know. But right now, he really only has the four-seamer and the slider that he can go to. The changeup's not good. Yeah, so I don't know. I think just name value, I think you can still get a pretty decent return for him. That's just kind of why I'm thinking about selling him right now. Though I could be way wrong in this. We'll see. I think this year is going to be a very telling year for Hunter Green one way or another. We'll see. It's going to be fun. We'll see. That red seam is a lot of fun. But let's go ahead and hit a quick break. We'll come back and get into our buys.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome back. Getting into our buys now. We got 8 total, 4 from each of us, starting with one of the biggest names on the free agent market this year.
Yeah, I'm going with Aaron Nola is my buy. And it's not because the Braves are interested. I don't even think the Braves end up landing him. They haven't landed a free agent this big in a long time. But I do think Nola's a pretty great buy in Dynasty right now because people have seemingly faded him like a ton. And I'm not quite sure why. Like, he's literally going the same spot as Tarik Skubal in redraft. And Nola's been consistent year over year over year. And I just think it creates the buying opportunity. Yeah, I mean, you look at the 4.46 ERA and you're like, oh man, that looks terrible. 2021, he had a 4.63 ERA. But these caveats here is they came with really good FIPs and even Sierras. And the important thing to remember with Nola is that the Phillies didn't give a rip about defense. They were running guys out there that had no business being in these certain positions. And I think it could have hurt him some. So I'm banking on a Nola rebound. It was a career, not quite a career low, but one of his lowest swinging strike rates that we had seen since 2019 at least. But he still struck out near 26% of batters. He walked just 5.7% of batters, which is pretty huge. I think the biggest thing for Nola is going to be just getting in an org where, or even a ballpark where he's got a solid lineup behind him, a solid, you know, guys in the field. He's durable as all get out. I mean, no pitcher's safe, but find me somebody that's safer than Nola who started 32, 32, 32, 12 in the short season, which was every possible start, 33, 34. Like, the last time he did not pitch a full season was in 2017. I think there's a lot of value to be had in that. And Nola, ultimately, the bad years, he's had a really high home run to fly ball rate and home run per nine. So if those things can shake themselves out, that kind of is one of those things that regresses to the mean, then I think we're fine with Aaron Nola. And yeah, I mean, people have kind of mentioned like the arsenal and the velocity. But the velocity actually ticked back up like over the season. If you kind of look at the graph, like, it was a little bit low to begin the season, but he ended up sitting right back where he had always been, you know, right around 93 by season's end, which is good to see. Like, you obviously need to see that after kind of where he started. But I'm still in on Nola. I think that there's just a couple tweaks here and there, and he's going to be completely okay. I do want to pull up his average pitch velo and just kind of look at it month by month. Because if I remember, I just want to, yeah, that's right. So he was sitting like 91 in April, and it slowly like trended upward all season. And in July, even like he was averaging like 93.5, which is good. Everything kind of built up over the season. So durable as they get, I'm all in on Aaron Nola.
Just make sure you don't start him on days that I am in attendance for a start, because I've been to two games at Citizens Bank Park. Beautiful ballpark, by the way. I love it. It's one of my favorite parks. Beautiful park. And both games, so the first one was against Cincy. The second one was against the Dodgers. And he just does not pitch well in starts that I'm there. I don't know what it is. I jinx him. But, yeah, definitely agree that Nola is better than what he's shown. It's almost like an every of the year thing with him. I don't know what it is, but yeah. See, if he gets into a really good pitcher's park, I think you could definitely see like a top five, top 10 SP season from him, no doubt. I'm going to go to Tampa Bay with Shane Boz. Now, people are probably tired of hearing me, you know, bang this drum, but yeah, I think he's still a great buy right now until he gets back to the rotation and starts showing again that how high the upside is and what he's capable of. I think he's a great buy right now. This is a guy that I saw way back my first trip out to Arizona for first pitch 2019 time out in the AFL for Salt River. And he didn't pitch well out there. He had 8.18 ERA over 11 innings, you know, 14 Ks, 8 walks. But his pop, you know, you could tell the stuff is absolutely electric. I had a chance to interview him back in right in the beginning of the pandemic. It was like April 2020. Everything he said he was going to do, like he was focusing on, you know, location, you know, repetition, getting his mechanics in check, and just working on pounding the zone more. And you saw that, like, in spades next that following year, 2021, between AA and AAA, 113 strikeouts to just 13 walks in 70 and two-thirds innings. That is a K-minus walk rate of 33.6%. Not a K rate of 33.6, a K-minus walk of 33.6. He had a 49-2 strikeout-to-walk ratio in, what was that, 7 starts in AA before he bumped up to AAA. Like, the stuff is absolutely there. I mean, is he going to be a, you know, sub 5% walk rate guy? No, probably not. But this is definitely what we saw in 2021 and 2022, was a much more polished arm without sacrificing stuff. That's all, sometimes the trade-off that happens is guys that have the loud stuff have to dial it back a little bit in order to, you know, command it better, you know, cut the walk rate, locate their offerings better. Boz didn't really sacrifice anything at all with the stuff. Like, he still has a very dynamic four-pitch mix. You know, fastball gets up in the upper 90s, 97, 98. Now, he averaged 96 on average in 2022, but, you know, two great breaking balls in different velocity bands. You know, slider up at the 88 range. You know, had a 43.5% whiff rate on that his last year with the Rays. And the curve more in the low 80s, around 82 on average. Also with a whiff rate above 40%, mixes in a changeup as well, which has been, at least to lefties, which has been a decent enough fourth offering for him to kind of complement the three pitches. And yeah, there's a lot of risk here. Absolutely. I mean, obviously he missed all of 2023 coming off major surgery. He had some issues before that as well. But the value is so low right now, and the upside is so high. Like, there is still a future. I can, you know, rub the old crystal ball right now and see a future where he's a top 10 fantasy arm. Like, that is the upside we're talking about with Shane Boz. And obviously the Rays have some sort of issue keeping their all of their arms healthy. It's kind of ridiculous at this point, but talent is absolutely there, and the potential ROI on a guy like Boz is just absolutely enormous. So I will try to scoop up all the shares I can in Dynasty Leagues this offseason, and just, you know, again, the better chance for a huge reward than, you know, the risk is kind of, you know, minimal at this point where the value is. So great buy right now. So go out and get some Shane Boz.
Yeah, I agree. He certainly would have made my list if you didn't claim him first. So he's one of the best buys out there, in my opinion, because the stock clearly hasn't caught up. He's going way later than I thought he would in redraft. I think of 210, as late as 318. I mean, I get, like, coming back from Tommy John, like, we don't ever know, like, how exactly a player's going to look. But it's, if all clicks, like, it's going to be a really, really good value. So I'm all in on Boz as well. Like I said, with Nola, I think those are, Boz is an excellent acquisition this offseason, as I think this guy is as well. And that's Hunter Brown with the Houston Astros, whose season certainly didn't go like many hoped. There were a lot of inconsistencies with Brown. He flashes the upside, but sometimes, like, we just don't see it come to fruition. And, you know, the ups and downs led to a 5.09 ERA this season across 155 innings, in which he struck out 178 batters, but he had a 1.36 whip, which is pretty detrimental to your ratios. So why buy Hunter Brown? Well, I think it starts with ultimately the talent in the arsenal. When you look at the arsenal, I mean, it's as good as it gets, in my opinion, if he can begin to locate the pitches a little better. A Savant's comparable pitchers based on velocity and movement are Garrett Cole, Tyler Glasnow, Zach Gallen, Zach Wheeler, and Tosh Bradley. So that's pretty interesting. I mean, it is what it is. Like, I don't love those things, but that's always fun to mention. And I think Brown got a little unlucky throughout the season. His four-seam got hit around a lot. It ran a really high BABIP, but the XBA on it was 4 points lower. So it was a 2.71 batting average, and it was a 2.31 batting or XBA. So all the expected numbers were much lower than the actual numbers that we saw. And so I just wonder, like, was this just a product of some bad luck that we saw out of Hunter Brown? And does he bounce back? And I'd say absolutely he bounces back. I think it's a great opportunity for him to rebuild some value in 2024. And it's a great time for you as a dynasty manager to acquire as well. He tinkered with his arsenal all year, which is interesting. If you look at the breakdown by month, like, the four-seam usage just went up and up, which I don't like, but he probably figures out. The slider usage was inconsistent time to time. Like, he threw a splitter some, like, he threw the sweeper some. It's an interesting arsenal. I feel like he just, like, tinkering way too much. And hopefully he can get back on track. They can straighten him out. He can figure out his pitch mix and just roll with it, because the talent's there. Command is just going to be a sticking point, but the stuff will certainly play. And I'm buying Hunter Brown.
Yeah, he was one I considered as well. So I think what you saw from Hunter Brown this year was, you know, a rookie just going through his first full season, making those adjustments. So you're learning, all right, I got to tinker with this. I got to adjust that. Like, he was making those adjustments, and obviously the stuff is still there. The upside is still there. So, yeah, I definitely like that pick a lot. I'm going to keep mine in the another AL East guy. Go Michael King, a guy that I actually just wrote up today on Monday over on my Patreon, did a little profile and fantasy outlook on him. Obviously, he's on a buy low right now, but I think he's one that the value just hasn't gone up as much as I thought it would after, you know, his pretty good end of the season. As you look at from his first, yeah, he made a start on August 24th, but the first start where he went 4+ innings, that's kind of where I was looking at with this kind of stat range here. There was only 5 pitchers total that had a strikeout rate above 30% and a walk rate of below 5% during that span, which was August 29th through the end of the season. The other 4 were Zach Eflin, Justin Steele, Tarik Skubal, and Nick Pivetta, who I think is going way too high in redraft. He's going ahead of like Shane Boz. But King was obviously very good. 2.02 ERA, 1.09 whip, 4.9% walk rate, 31.9% K rate, and 35 2/3 innings during that span. And this is a guy that obviously was one of the, you know, better relievers in baseball for the last handful of years, and was having another pretty good year this year before they moved him to the rotation. And not hard to see, you know, why the Yankees made that move. Obviously, King's success. He was a guy that would be brought in for multiple innings, you know, more often than not. And that rotation was in shambles. You know, outside of Cole, it was, you know, a bunch of, you know, underperformers, a lot of injuries, obviously. So they really needed anybody to step into that rotation. So I think the question right now for King that many people have is, like, can he stick? I mean, yeah, it was great. You know, it was, you know, 6 weeks, whatever. Can he stick as a full-time rotation arm and an impact one? And that's a valid question to have. And, you know, I even have that a little bit. But at the same time, you know, he pitched 104 and 2/3 innings this year. So a jump to, like, the 160 to 170 range isn't that unrealistic. And I think, like, he has the pitch mix that you're looking for. Like, he has a four pitch mix. You know, you go the sinker, the sweeper, the changeup, and what was it? Sinker, sweeper, changeup, and the four seamer. And the only real adjustment he made, you know, when he went from the bullpen to the rotation, he threw more sinkers, less sweepers, but it's a good four pitch mix. He uses it to both righties and lefties. You know, I obviously love to see that. Anyone that knows me knows that's a big thing for me. And even as his most used pitch is changeup, 14.5%, which is still a decent rate for your fourth offering. You know, it was one of the best changeups in baseball. Had a 104 batting average against, 134 slug on only 2 extra base hits allowed all season on that pitch, and a 41% whiff rate. You know, so this is a guy that has that pitch mix, has the solid command that you look for. You know, the walk rate overall for his career has always been like in that 7.5% to 8.5% range, and even got better as a starter down the stretch. Can miss bats at a solid clip as well. So I don't see why he can't pitch 160, 170 innings. You know, have like something like a 3.3 ERA, 1.1 whip, and, you know, a K minus walk rate over 20%. I think that's definitely in play. And I think the value is just still too low. I think it's only going to go up from here. And so, yeah, he's a good dynasty buy for me right now.
Yeah, I'm curious to see like how the Michael King thing shakes out, because I think he's pretty polarizing to a lot of people this offseason. And the talent's there. Like, he proved that he can pitch as a starter, but ultimately, like, you know, what did the results look like over a full season?
Right.
And you get through the lineup 3 times, but if all pans out, like, he's going to take off. So I can certainly see a good reason to buy him this offseason, because the stock could really soar and go up, which would be huge for you as a manager, someone that rosters him, in having Michael King on your roster. So I'm on board with that.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Who would you rather have in Dynasty moving forward, Michael King or Cole Reagans?
I think I'd take Reagans. Right. Just the upside, like we saw. I don't think either's like super safe, but Reagans, I think the ceiling's just a little bit higher for me, so I'd go there.
Yeah, looking at ADP, now obviously this is redraft ADP, but Reagans right now, early drafts, is going about, I just lost, where did King go? Yeah, Kings are on pick 160 on average, and Reagans almost 40 picks higher at 121 than some guy we just talked about, or I just did. Hunter Green's going at 111, so you see like people are still pretty high on Hunter Green there, and then Reagans coming up right behind them too, so. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Reagan's obviously another one of the kind of the late season breakout arms. Obviously, a little bit different scenario. You know, he wasn't a reliever, transitioned to a starter. But yeah, I think more so believer than most in King being a starter. So that's why I'm buying him personally.
Yeah, I can feel that. I can get on board with that. My guy's kind of like did the opposite thing that I'm taking here in Christian Javier, who had a, you know, quite a bad season, honestly. In retrospect of what we normally get out of Christian Javier, he kind of established himself as like a high-end SP2, even like a ace caliber pitcher in some sense, but he just laid an egg like down the stretch. He, like most of the season, honestly, he was good to start the year, but into the season with a 4.56 ERA across 162 innings, the strikeouts went way down. The strikeout rate was down 10 percentage points, which is huge. He was at 33.2% in 2022. He was at 23.1% in 2021. That's not good at all. Even though you see, like, there's things in the profile. It's like, why did this happen? Like, what happened to Christian Javier? And it's kind of hard to pinpoint, like, an exact, like, reason why he struggled. The good news is he did bounce back at the end of the season. And when they need him the most, he was solid. So he was, I mean, the last start of the season, he went 6 scoreless, which was excellent. They were facing Arizona, who we know ended up going to the World Series. So not a slouch start there. He faced Baltimore in September, went 5 innings, allowed 1 earned, and K'd 11, which was really good as well. So I think that Javier was returning to the right track that we all wanted to see. And why did that happen? What was the reason, the struggles during the season? It's hard to pinpoint something exactly because the arsenal stayed pretty similar throughout the year. The average pitch velocity pretty similar throughout the year. What changed? Its location got better. It's hard to really pinpoint something, but you look at the heat maps and you can kind of see where Javier got beat up a lot, and it was fastballs left over the plate. To no surprise, like, yeah, those are going to get hit, especially when you're averaging like 93 miles an hour. They're going to get hit around. 21 home runs allowed on the four-seam fastball. Got beat a lot there. Can this change in the offseason? Absolutely. Do I believe the Astros are going to tweak a few things? Absolutely. And Christian Javier stock is probably as low as it's going to get because people just write everybody off so quickly. I mean, his ADP is like 160 right now. He's going as low as 218. And it's with somebody that was like a top 10 pitcher in 2022 and was being drafted as such in 2023. So to me, it's an easy buy on Christian Javier. And I think he bounces back, even if he never gives you ace level stuff. That's okay. Like, he's going to be a really good arm.
Yeah. No, it's funny how, like, how good he was and then so inconsistent last year. But yeah, the talent's still there. You know, he showed it in spurts. Yes, I think he's going to bounce back. Maybe he won't bounce back to what he was in 2022, but there's definitely still a very good fantasy arm there for sure. You know, I'm going with a guy that is not even going to pitch that much, if at all, in 2024. But I think now is just a great time to buy him because I think his value, you know, maybe not rock bottom, but pretty damn close. Like that episode of SpongeBob where he kind of gets lost. He goes onto that town rock bottom. That's kind of where Dustin May's value is right now. And, you know, obviously it's been a roller coaster ride. Dustin May's major league career, absolutely, it's been a roller coaster ride. More, you know, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, you know, a lot of inconsistencies, you know, injury-wise, performance-wise. But the upside is still very, very high. Like, we saw that briefly, you know, near the end of what season? With 2021. He had a 32.6% K minus walk rate. And yeah, it was five starts before he got hurt. So again, another injury shortened season from him. And he hasn't, what's the most starts he's made in the season in the major leagues? Our most innings is 56 right now, which oddly enough is during the shortened 2020 year. You know, since then, five starts, six starts, nine starts, and never getting over 48 innings each of the last 3 years. But, you know, career 3.10 ERA, 1.05 WHIP. And we've seen, you know, the stuff obviously is nasty. You know, he's featured in, you know, a lot of pitching ninja gifts, or at least when he's healthy, he is. And, you know, at one point he did find out, like, that, you know, a better pitcher. He was throwing more curveballs, you know, less sinkers, you know, going to the cutter even a bit more. Like, he was starting to tinker with that pitch mix, which I was like screaming for him to do. I'm like, obviously you can, you know, your pitches have a crap ton of movement on them, Dustin. But, you know, if hitters know that, and they're going to lay off, they know that sinker is going to run in off the plate, or you're going to throw that cutter way too far off the plate. So he started, becoming more of a pitcher, less of a thrower. And yeah, it was a very small sample size that we saw that, but that's the upside we're talking about here. Again, going back to the similar pitches to him based on velo movement, you get Zach Wheeler, you got Sandy Alcantara, you got George Kirby, you got Zach Wheeler again. You know, the upside obviously is there. And look at this year. All five of his pitches, 220 batting average against or less. You know, obviously, very small sample size again. It was only 48 innings. And then four of them had a batting average against under 170. All five had a slug allowed under 350. You know, the whiff rates weren't quite there, but they've been there in the past. So it's all about him putting it together. It's all about him staying healthy, which there's plenty of risk, even more risk right now than Shane Baz, so I talked about earlier. But with Dustin May, again, the value has dropped so far where, hey, if you're a team that is, especially if you're a team that's not looking like they're going to contend, maybe going through a bit of a rebuild right now, this is a guy you can get for cheap. And then maybe once you start getting back into your contention window, this is a guy that could be, you know, maybe an impact arm for you that you didn't pay much to acquire. And if he's not, again, you didn't pay much to acquire him because the value is so low right now. So, again, even if you're a contender, you know, if you just get him for like a prospect or two that you're not going to need this year, I think Dustin May is a good guy. Grab him, stash him on the IL, and, you know, maybe he's helping you even more, you know, helping you retain your title or your, you know, top of the standings. And once he comes back in, you know, either later in 2024 or 2025, see what the Dodgers want to do there. But, yeah, Dustin May, great value right now. Obviously, the upside's still there. So I'm trying to get him anywhere I can.
Yeah, he'll be interesting. I don't know what the Dodgers do with him. I could see that he could be a closer for the Dodgers for all
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, he like, could. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it could be, it could work out for him. Like, he's certainly got the talent. I'm going to go over to Baltimore and choose John Means, who they desperately need a big year from. You know, they need pitching. Means obviously coming back from Tommy John. But Means had been so good previously, and we saw him down the stretch pitching some decent spots, and he looked all right. I mean, he made four starts after returning. He had 2.66 ERA across 23 innings. Just didn't strike out batters, but you're still getting a feel back for his pitches and pitching in game, obviously after missing a full season. But I really believe that John Means is going to be one of the best buys that you can have on the market, because no one's really interested in him, it seems. I mean, his ADP is 272. He's going as low as 352 in NFBC redraft leagues. Different circumstances. But again, we're looking at a 30-year-old John Means at this point, and I think it's a fair value either way. You look at what he's done prior to injury. I mean, he was highly successful. 2021, it was a 3.62 ERA, a 1.03 whip. Really good stuff. Struck out 23% of batters, walked 4.4% of batters. So again, it's exactly what you want to see out of him. He was good in rehab as well this year, coming back in AAA. Looked really solid there in the arsenal. I mean, kind of look at the velocity and the movement profile, and everything was pretty much back to normal, which is good. It's what you want to see. And yeah, he should. I mean, like, he could tick up a bit. Like, he was in 2021, he pitched full season 92.8. He was around 92. But I'd expect after a full offseason to really spend time just, you know, rehabbing and recovering, that Means is going to be back to who he was. And John Means was like kind of how we value Kyle Bradish now, like near top 100 guy for Dynasty. And so I think that Means is just a good buy. People have kind of forgot about him, and I think you can get him for pretty cheap. So I'm in on John Means.
Yeah. I mean, like, the upside might not be super high, but you know, he still could be a you know, solid arm for your staff, and where his value is right now. Yeah, I think it's definitely low risk and a potential solid reward there. So yeah, good pick there. I'm going to close it out. I was debating going with, I could have gone with actually a couple other Dodger arms, but I'm going to close it out with the Cincinnati Red. You know, after talking about Hunter Green as a sell, I think Nick Lodolo is actually a buy right now. Obviously, you know, missed the last, you know, 4.5-5 months of the season and wasn't pitching well at all. Before he got hurt, had a 6.29 ERA in seven starts, but also had 47 strikeouts in those seven starts and 28.3% K rate and a 6% walk rate. So still a 22.3 K minutes walk rate in those starts. And yeah, he was getting hit too hard. Fastball command wasn't quite there, but he's the type of guy where I think the profile actually can succeed in a place like Great American Ballpark, because he gets ground balls. You know, 2022, 45.5% ground ball rate, 2023, 47.1% ground ball rate, and he misses bats. You know, curveball, changeup, both can miss bats. Curveball especially, one of the better curveballs in baseball. You know, last year had some bad luck on the pitch, 286 batting average against versus a 162 XBA. You know, slug to XLUK at a 160 point difference there. So it was a small sample size. You know, we've seen what he's capable of. You know, there's a reason why this guy was pretty hyped entering 2023. And yeah, if you rostered him, regardless if it was Dynasty or Redraft, probably got a sour taste in your mouth right now. But a lot of his metrics, you know, outside of the zone contact, went up 4.5%. He had a higher chase rate, whiff rate above 30% each of the last 2 years. So I think there's a lot better Nick Lodolo than we saw last year. And I think than even what we saw in 2022. I mean, 2022 was a 3.66 ERA, 1.25 whip. I think you could see, you know, 3.3, 3.4 ERA, 115 to 118 whip. Yeah, it'll be a little higher because of Great American Ballpark, but I still think in an acceptable range. I think this is a guy that is going to be a guy that's always flirting with the 30% K rate, given his stuff. And so I think the stability of the miss bats, you know, he's got the four pitches, though the sinker usage rate went way down this year because it wasn't good in 2022. Went to more four seamers, even more curveballs this past year. But stuff is still there, so I think he can excel in Great American Ballpark. And I think he's having a nice bounce back year for the Reds this year. So I will close out the show with Nick Lodolo. So there was 8 buys, 4 sells, total of 12 names talked about here. That's going to wrap up the show. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you check out DynastyDugout.com and ToolshedFantasy.com for more work from each of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.